Introduction today on that, but that is lesson four. And what page is that on? Page 29 in your book there. You find Galatians 2:20 there in the overview. We'll talk about that. And that's probably about as far as we'll go. And we'll see. We're going to talk about several different things with that. And let God speak to our hearts. Amen. All right. Well, let's go to Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Galatians 2, verse number 20. Your flesh's funeral. By the way, the Bible says, in my flesh dwelleth what? No good what? No good thing. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Can anybody tell me, before we look at the verse there, what does the definition or term flesh really mean? When it says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Flesh, okay, sin, okay. What else about flesh? What is that? Filthy rags, okay. But what is it, the flesh, what does that actually mean? What part of us is that? Is it our skin? Exactly, it's our sin nature. So when it talks about the flesh, it's not talking about your skin, okay? It's what's contained inside of your skin. It is the sinful part of man, his nature, his human nature that from birth is sinful. So when it says flesh, don't look at your skin and say, I've just got to cut all my flesh off. That won't solve the problem. Amen. It's in you. It's in your nature. Amen. So when the Bible talks about flesh, it's talking about your sin nature. In other words, you minus God. Pretty good way of explaining it, amen. And anybody that is minus God is going to be in the flesh or have that sinful nature dominating, okay? So let's read Galatians 2:20. That's going to be our memory verse as well up front. And so you that'll be at the conclusion, will be your memory verse. Let's say the verse, read the reference and the verse. Here we go. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20, amen. Father, blessing these next few moments that we have together as we just look at this introduction to this crucifixion of the flesh and our flesh's funeral. God, help it to be that which we can comprehend, that which we can understand, and that which we can take out and then directly apply to our lives. We thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Work in us and work through us this morning. May you get all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. All right. Your flesh's funeral. The first three words say, I am crucified. When you think of the word crucified, is that something that you really want to do? Is that an enjoyable experience? If it were enjoyable, they wouldn't have done it for the criminals. They'd have it at the resorts. Amen. And for the high paying customers. But because it is a painful experience, it is reserved for criminals and is reserved for punishment. And Paul says here, I'm crucified with Christ. Right off the bat, he lets you know this is going to be a painful experience. Amen. Why do you think this is going to be a painful experience? Flesh doesn't want to let me go. And by the way, we're not talking about you and I getting up on a cross and being impaled to a cross. We're not talking about somebody nailing something through your hand or through your feet. We're not talking about somebody nailing something through any part of your body. We're talking about spiritual. So why is this going to be so hard of a crucifixion? Jerry's giving one answer. You don't want to let your flesh go. What's another answer? Yes? Me, my, and mine. totally foreign, pleasing God and not pleasing myself. Amen. Me, mine, I want what's coming to me. Jerry? Satan's going to fight against you, amen, to do what God wants you to do. Amen. Dimitri? Yeah, amen. We definitely wouldn't. Amen. Faye? Or who are they? Faye or Bev? He said, you crucified the memory. Amen. Get that out of here. Amen. We don't need that anymore. Okay, amen. Giving up control. Amen. Amen. And who doesn't want to be in control? All of us want to be in control. Your kids want to be in control. The husband wants to be in control. The wife wants to be in control. Your boss wants to be in control. The employees, everybody want to be in control. You know, we want to be in control. That's why we're going to vote on Tuesday. Amen. Y'all are going to vote. Amen. We want to be in control. I got to vote. Amen. I got to control here. Amen. And so I'm going to vote. We voted early, amen. And so when you look at this, the first three words, I am crucified, but then he says, with Christ. Did Christ get crucified? Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
He said, I'm crucified with Christ. So the same way Christ was crucified for my sin, I've got to envision myself crucified as well.
Yes, sir.
Then he comes back, nevertheless, I live. I say, wait a minute, but I'm still alive. He says, but yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So the Spirit of God then is going to live through me if I can crucify this flesh. It says, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he says, I'm going to live the rest of my life by faith to do what God wants me to do. By faith. Why? Because self now has been crucified. My flesh has been crucified. I understand that intelligently. And so I'm going to obey God. Easier said than done. As Jerry said, your flesh is going to go down fighting and swinging. Don't touch me. Get off. Get back. I'm going to do what I want to do. No, I want my way. Boom. And that's what the flesh will beat you down. And your flesh is very strong, but it is not stronger than the power of God.
Right.
And we have to recognize that. And by the way, you have resurrection power. Did y'all know that?
We do.
You can crucify your flesh 1 minute and he can be resurrected the next minute.
Yes, sir, he can.
The old man can be dead 1 second and alive the next moment.
Yes, sir,
it all depends on what stimuli comes his way. Amen. That's why the censorship is so important. Because if you don't censor some things, guess what? That old man will see that. And that old man will say, "Ooh, I remember that." So let's talk about some things here. Notice your overview there. Who has a loud, booming voice that can read that overview? Because my voice is shot. Who's got a loud voice? Amen. We need to attend our flesh's funeral. Amen. Now, I want you to notice something right in the middle of that paragraph. It says, this decision to die to self. And notice in parentheses, to sinful choices and desires. So if I'm going to die to self, it means that I've got to say no to sinful choices and desires. Why do I have to say no to sinful choices and sinful desires? You do want to honor God. That's true. But why else do I need to say no to sinful choices and desires? Exactly. As long as I say yes, I'm submitting to the flesh. I'm giving more fuel to the fire. The more you say no to sinful desires, the less fuel you're giving to the old man or your flesh. And by the way, the more liberty you give your flesh, the more liberty he or she wants. Or takes. So you give flesh an inch, what is the flesh going to take?
A mile.
You give the flesh a mile, what is he going to do? He's going to go on a trip. Vacation, amen. It'll be a staycation, but it'll be a vacation, amen. And so you and I have to limit our sinful choices and desires. Notice this. And to identify with Christ must be made on a continual basis. Why? Because Satan is continually tempting people to give in. Why do you think commercials are there? Why do you think billboards are there? Why do you think the internet is there? Why do you think the magazines are there and the movies and TV? Why do you think those things are there? To grab your flesh. How many commercials have you seen selling the King James Bible?
None.
I wonder why.
I see none, Pastor.
How many commercials have you seen telling you to memorize the Word of God? I wonder why. How many commercials have you seen saying you need to pray to God and repent of your sins? Well, I wonder why. Doesn't appeal to your flesh. The average person would say, hey. Now you meddling. Now you picking. You're talking about getting the Bible. You're talking about praying. You're talking about repenting. Now you're meddling. I was just talking to somebody yesterday, and they put out on the Facebook that homosexuality is a sin. And when they put that out there, what do you think came back? Outrage. What else? Strife. What else came back? Arguments. Hatred. How many of you think came back and said, oh, that's right, it is sin. It's an abomination to God. And we ought to repent. The person had a small percentage of people that agreed. The overwhelming majority of the people that responded said, that's why people are leaving the church, because of people like you. You're judgmental. How dare you tell us this is wrong? If I love my partner, that's all that should matter. And la-di-la-di and blah, blah, blah. And just berate the poor person.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Why do you think that is so? The flesh. The flesh. The flesh says, if I want this relationship, if I want to stop, it's okay. And who are you to tell me otherwise?
Yeah.
Well, I'm nobody, but I think God's somebody.
Yes, sir.
And if God said it, that settles it.
Yes, sir.
So I'm nobody, but God's everybody.
Yes, sir.
And so when it comes down to the flesh, I mean, the flesh does not want to go away easy. Let me give you a few thoughts here about a funeral. Because we're talking about your flesh is funeral. Notice the last sentence there says, they need to attend their flesh's funeral. How many have attended a funeral lately? Not lately, amen. Let's talk about it. Why don't we like going to funerals, typically? Why don't we like going to funerals? Sad. Why don't we like going to funerals? Minds of our own mortality. One day I'm going to be laying there too. Why don't we like going to funerals? Sadness reminds us of our own mortality. Why don't we like going to funerals? We should be happy. Losing loved ones, amen. And there's a pain, there's a void there when loved ones are departed, amen. Why else don't we like them? Amen. All we have is memories. This is over. This is final. I got down sadness here. We don't like them because of the memory that is there. Sometimes we don't like them because we know there's unfinished business. We didn't take care of some business with the person there, and we'll never be able to get something right with them. And we know there's a, as you say, Brother Hall, there's a finality there. I'll never be able to go to them and get forgiveness. Or I'll never be able to give forgiveness when they asked it of me. I'll never be able to do that. There's unfinished business, so there's sorrow, there's sadness. Sometimes, and this is the most important for us that are saved, the member is unsaved.
Yes, sir.
And we know that when they open their eyes, they'll open their eyes in hell.
Yes, sir. They will, Pastor.
And that doesn't doesn't sit well with us, especially if I had a chance to witness to them, if I had a chance to give them the gospel. That doesn't sit well with me. So we don't like funerals for those reasons oftentimes. But when can a funeral be a good thing? When can a funeral be a good thing when we don't mind going to this funeral? Right. Amen. We get give a chance to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Demetri? I know they're in heaven. Amen. So I don't mind going. Now, still, the sadness is still there, but I don't mind as much because I know they're in heaven.
Yeah.
I can testify, Brother Hall. Amen. Amen. So if a person has been ill chronically or they're in pain, and I remember when Carlene died and took her last breath, she said, look, I'm ready. Pastor, I'm ready. Tell them to stop hooking me up to all this stuff. I'm ready. I don't want to be hooked up to anything anymore. Just let me go. I'm ready to go. You know, and praise God when you can have that peace of mind. I'm ready. You know, Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. He says, I'm ready. Praise God when you can get to that point where when you can be ready. I like what Psalms 116:15 says. Hold your finger in Galatians. Go over there real quick. Psalm 116 and verse number 15. Psalm 116 and verse 15 says this, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In other words, precious. He's going to carefully watch over them, or he takes great note of their passing. And by the way, no death of anybody ever caught God by surprise. What do we often say? Oh, so-and-so died in an accident. Mm-hmm. There are no accidents with God.
No, there isn't.
Oh, so-and-so had an unfortunate accident. There's no such thing as an accident when it comes to God. God already has preordained everybody's time of departure from planet Earth. Amen. He already knows that. And he's given multiple reasons or multiple occasions for them to repent. Amen. I still go back over my lifetime, and God gave me time after time after time after time to repent. And finally, at age 27, I finally repented and got saved. And I'm so glad that I did. So God knows the appointment of your funeral date. Who doesn't know? We don't know. We don't know. You even have people that try to kill themselves. They try to plan their death and they don't die.
That's right, Pastor.
Why? God's grace, and God knows when you're going to go. And God says, if it ain't time for you to go, you ain't going nowhere. I mean, you can try to hang yourself, shoot yourself, and do everything you can. Amen. You will miss until it's time. And so when can a funeral be a good thing? When we are free from pain or illness, we see Jesus, amen. All those times are good times to be free, and a funeral doesn't seem so bad. Brother Daniels, you guys have your book, your Sunday school book. We're in lesson number 4. Brother Hall, can you pass him a book back there? Talking about our flesh's funeral. Let me give you another thought here that I jotted down. And here's another angle to a funeral, a spiritual funeral. Normally, when you have a funeral, many family and friends come together. Is that normally what happens? Many family and friends come together, amen. And here's another thought you have as well. Word gets out fast. Did you hear about so-and-so? A member of our church died recently, and I got a text. Did you hear so-and-so died? Many of you probably don't remember this person because they were from way back. And I thought, you're kidding me. And of course, Pastor White knows them, so I text Pastor White. I told my wife, word gets around quick when people die.
Yes, sir.
So let me pose you a thought here. If we're talking about your flesh's funeral, when you crucify your flesh, do you think many family members and friends are going to come to see the death of your flesh? You know when they're going to come? When the new man starts living. Because they're going to say, "Whoo! Did you hear Derek got religion? Let's go see him. Did you hear Ken Duffy got religion? Man, he don't do what he used to do. Let's go see him. I invited him to go drink some beer. He said, I don't drink beer anymore. Let's go check him out." Hey, when you crucify the flesh, family and friends are going to come see. They're going to come see why you don't do what you used to do. Greg, you don't let your kids watch that program? No.
No.
You don't let them go and do that? No. Everybody comes to see. Well, you used to. The flesh is dead.
Yes,
had a funeral for him.
Yes, sir.
So another angle to this, the spiritual angle, is many family members and friends come to a funeral. But when your flesh has a funeral, people will come to see the new you. Word gets out fast as to what happened to you. I remember when I showed up to my job and folks were saying, "Did you hear what happened to Dawson? He said he got saved." You know, notice how they phrased that. He said he got saved. Now, Brother Neil, why would they say he said he got saved? They don't know what I'm talking about, but also others have heard that phrase before. They said they were saved too. And they still live like the devil.
Yes, sir.
But he said he saved. Let's go see. Let's go see if there was really a funeral. Let's go see if there really was this old man crucified. Let's see if he really lived like a Christian. They expect you to be perfect right away, don't they?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so the other application is when we have a death to our flesh, many family and friends will come to see. Word will get around fast. And in the name of Jesus, give them something to see.
Amen.
Give them something to see. If they're going to come snooping around looking at your life, give them something to see. Amen. Show them what a real Christian lives like. Show them what a real Christian looks like. Show them how someone is truly blood washed and born again looks like. Amen. Give them something to see. They say, "Is it true you don't?" I say, "It's true."
Yep.
"Well, why don't you?" "Because God said I ought not to." "Well, are you expecting us to be like you?" "No, but I wish that you would get saved like me and let God deal with you." What did Paul say? "I wish that you were almost and altogether like I am, except for these bonds," amen, "these chains." And so they're going to come and they're going to look at something. Let's jump on a real quick horse here. Go back to Genesis. Let me show you funerals were not always happening. Go back to Genesis chapter number 2. And see the beginning of funerals. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 17, the beginning of funerals. The word was given to Adam what he was supposed to do. Genesis chapter 2 verse 17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not what?
Eat
of it. For the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what? In other words, it's going to be the first funeral. You're going to die. Amen. Now, by the way, up to this point, was there anything wrong with Adam's flesh? No. He didn't have a problem with his flesh. When God made him, he was made very good, the Bible said. He was upright. He was moral. There was nothing wrong with him at all. Did he have the capability to sin? Yes,
he did.
Just like Satan had the capability to sin. But he was perfect right at this point. And so there were no funerals. But then let's go over to Genesis chapter number 3. It's the beginning of funerals. They weren't always. The serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely what? Die." That won't be a funeral. If you do this, there won't be a funeral. Yeah, that's baloney. God's just pulling your leg.
Right.
No, Eve is about to dig her grave. That's what's happening. And dig our grave and dig your grave and my grave. Amen. Of course, you know the rest of the story. She ate. Their eyes were open. They fell into sin. And then they had problems with their what? Flesh.
Flesh.
They had problems with their flesh. And so when did we have the first funeral? Go to chapter number 4. Doesn't take long. chapter number 4, verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. It came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and did what? First funeral. There you go. It took all of 4 chapters. Have we been having funerals ever since? Yes. And they're going to continue to happen until eternity. Once God brings in the eternal state, amen, no more funerals. Amen. Death is swallowed up. By the way, is death already swallowed up? Death is already swallowed up. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, you and I only sleep when we pass. We don't die. We sleep. Die is final. Amen. We sleep to be raised again. Amen. So death is already swallowed up for you and I. So the beginning of funerals is here in Genesis chapter number 4, verse 8. That's the first one. Amen. But then let me show you the believer's funeral. Romans chapter 5 and verse 21. The believer's funeral. We got the first funeral, the beginning of funerals there in Genesis, but the believer's funeral, Romans 5 and verse 21. The believer's funeral. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 21. Notice what the Bible says down there. That as sin hath reigned unto what? Death. Even so might grace reign through what? Righteousness unto what kind of life? Eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So the believer's death, sin reigned unto death. But then you and I have died with Christ on the cross. Okay? Come over to Romans chapter number 6. Notice verse number 11. Matter of fact, back it up to verse number 4. Matter of fact, let's go to verse number 1. That's good right there. Amen. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Okay? The thought process was this. Well, if God has abundant grace for the abundance of my sin, then I should have more sin so I can get more grace. And that, doesn't that sound pretty logical? So in other words, let's bring it down to our level. Well, if I get off of breaking the law, then I should break the law more. Right? I should be a bigger criminal. If I'm a bigger criminal, I'll get forgiven for bigger crimes. Isn't that good for society?
Yes, sir, it is, Pastor.
That's exactly what they're asking. Isn't this good for society that I become a bigger sinner because I'll get bigger grace?
Yes, sir.
And for some people, that sounded really good that wanted to sin. But what do you say? What should we say then, verse number 1? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He said, oh, heavens, no. Yeah. How shall we that are what? Dead to sin. What is that? The believer's funeral.
Yes.
I'm going to crucify the flesh. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized in his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What is Paul saying there? He's saying the same way that you and I get baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We've been planted together in the likeness of his death. We've been buried under the baptismal waters. That is a representation that we have been baptized into Jesus Christ. The old man has been crucified on the cross. When we go down, he's dead. The picture being raised up is being raised to walk in newness of life. That's the picture. So he says down there in verse number 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve what?
Sin.
For he that is dead is freed from what?
Sin.
What is that? The believer's funeral. Now we be dead with Christ, crucified with Christ. We believe that we shall also what? Live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. And notice this, likewise, or in the same way as to what I just said, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto what?
Sin.
What part of me obeys sin? The spirit of God or the flesh of man? The flesh of man. See, he says, you need to go ahead and crucify that flesh. He says, verse number 11. Now, which verse did I just read? Did I just read 10? I just read 11. Okay. So likewise, reckon ye also yourselves be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's the believer's funeral. Now, let me show you the believer's behavior after the funeral. Got the beginning of funerals, came into Genesis. We know what happened there. We see the believer's funeral right here. We're supposed to be dead to sin. But now that I'm dead to sin, how do I live hereafter, after the funeral? After I bury the flesh and the flesh is done, what do I do? By the way, baptism is a picture that I am dead with Christ.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
I got that?
That's right.
Baptism shows me I'm dead with Christ. I'm raised to walk in newness of life. Is it magical? No, it's obedience. It's showing that I want to obey God and not the flesh. The old man that I used to be is dead and buried in the baptismal waters. The new me is raised to walk in newness of life. Okay? So the believer's behavior after the funeral. Notice verse number 12. 6:12. Let not, what is that word?
Sin
therefore, what's that word?
Reign.
What does reign mean? Rule. Let not sin therefore reign or rule in your what? Mortal body. Every sin that you do it with your body. You don't do it outside. There are no out-body experiences. Well, I had an out-of-body experience. I robbed the bank and I've got the money to show for it. It doesn't happen that way. You rob a bank, you're in your body, you go in the store, and guess what? Your body's going to get put in prison. There are no out-of-body experiences here. Folks say, well, you know, it's mystical. No, it's sinful. That's what it is. He says, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should what? Obey it in what? The lust thereof. Where does my lust come from? It's my desire. It's my desire. What did we talk about? That stimulus? I see it and I want it. What did the Bible say about Eve? When she saw that the fruit was good for food and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took it. What did she do? She desired it. So it said, don't obey it in the lust thereof or the desires thereof. Notice verse 13. Neither yield ye your what?
Members.
Now, it's not talking about church members either. Talking about your body parts, i.e. fingers, eyeballs, tongue, ears, feet, knees, leg. I shouldn't run after sin. I shouldn't grab a hold of sin. I shouldn't be looking at sin. I shouldn't be listening for sin. I shouldn't be talking about sin. I shouldn't be sniffing no sin. So I can sniff sin? Yeah, you can.
Oh, yes, you can.
Yeah, you can. A lot of things you can sniff that sin. Come on now, y'all know what I'm talking about. Let's not go there, though. Amen. It says down there, for sin shall not have what?
Dominion
over who? Over you.
You.
You're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And he goes on and talks about that throughout the rest of that. So what are we talking about here? The believer's behavior now after the funeral. I don't want to yield to the flesh, to give in to it, because when I do, I become its slave.
Yes, sir,
and its master.
Yeah.
By the way, I'd much rather serve God than to serve sin. If you're serving sin, sin is a terrible taskmaster. You say, preacher, how do you know? The wages of sin is what?
Death.
So you might not die physically, but there's a whole lot of other ways to die. Ms. Dawson? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that's why it says there's got to be a continual thing going. Look in your book again in that middle paragraph over the overview, the middle sentence there. It says, this decision to die to self, to sinful choices and desires, and identify with Christ must be made on a what? Continual basis. Why? Because Satan's continually tempting people to give in to their fleshly desires. And folks, let's just be honest. We give in. There is not one of us here that doesn't give in to his desires at some point throughout the course of a day. Why? Satan is very good at what he does. If you don't fall for the first trick, guess what he got? Trick number two.
Yep.
If you don't fall for trick number two, what he? Three.
Number three.
And he does not run out of tricks because he knows sooner or later he's got your number.
Yes, sir.
He came back to the Lord Jesus Christ three times to tempt him.
Yes, sir, he did, Pastor.
And the Bible says he only left him for a season. So if he only left him for a season, what do you think we have? We're chopped liver. I mean, we're ground beef.
Yes, sir.
A chuck roast, or what do you call that? What's that beef, that cube steak? Amen? Amen. He's got our number. And so if our flesh is not in its funeral state, if it's not put to death, the devil will bring you something to resurrect you. So your desires for your flesh has got to be put to death. Amen. And when it's not, the devil will capitalize on that. And like Ms. Dawson said, you've got to go back and repent and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to put the funeral back in the grave. Put the funeral back in the grave. The flesh back in the grave. Amen. I will put that flesh back in the grave and bury that flesh. Why? Because it's easy to resurrect the flesh. The devil knows there are certain things that will attract your attention. I've heard of men up in their 70s hooked on pornography. And you think they're impotent. Their mind's not. Their bodies might be, but their minds aren't. And you'd be surprised what you can do with your imagination. To have an 80-year-old person hooked on pornography, you think, that's just sick.
Whoa.
No sicker than your sin.
Right.
And the devil knows your weakness.
Yes, he does.
He knows the older we get, the more strategic he's got to get with our temptations, because we begin to whittle this out and whittle that out and censor that out and censor that out. And so we're not going to do those things. So he says, okay, let's get a little more strategic with you.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
So he knows. So when you're looking at your flesh's funeral, let's go back to Galatians 2:20. We're going to close with that. Our memory verse is Galatians 2:20. Talking about the beginning of funerals in Genesis and then the believer's funeral in Romans 5 and 6 and the behavior after the funeral, we have to put the flesh to rest. Galatians 2:20. And read that with me again. This is going to be our memory verse for next week. Galatians 2 and verse number 20. Here we go. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20, amen. That's going to be our verse for the week, amen. Meditate upon that and remember and recognize that our flesh has got to go to the funeral. We've got to attend this funeral every day, moment by moment. We've got to look in the mirror and say, you're a dead man. You're a dead woman. You're not going to live today. You're not going to do what you want to do. You're going to do what God tells you to do, because you're dead. You've got no choices. You've got no desires here. You're off the market. Amen. We've got to say that to ourselves. Amen. Then we've got to live that. Amen. Galatians 2:20, Father, bless now. As we go and meditate on our flesh's funeral, God, we've got to put the desires to rest. We've got to make sure that the flesh is buried. We've got to reckon it to be done. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to live this week, each moment by moment, confessing our sins to Almighty God. And Lord, asking you to cleanse us and to crucify the flesh and not give in to the desires of the flesh and the mind. But Lord, to walk in the newness of life and obey the Spirit of God and the Word of God and fulfill those things that you would have us to fulfill. Thank you again for loving us, Lord. Bless the refreshments next door. Guide us into our next session, Lord, as we talk about the censorship. And I pray that your hand of mercy may guide us, and we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You are dismissed. If you got a book that you borrowed, go ahead and return that one if you already have one.